is going on, everybody?
Joe is amped.
I am amped. I am never not pumped to play some Pathfinder, man.
That's our theme music.
Y'all get you all pumped up.
Get your blood pumping.
I'm sweating.
Yeah. It's like Aerosmith, but hotter and better. It's like hot driving Aerosmith.
What really could be hotter and better than Aerosmith?
Could you even imagine such a thing? And yet,
I could imagine so many things better than Aerosmith.
We have a lot of Aerosmith fans
around
the table.
You just lost half your fan base.
I actually love Aerosmith. I remember I bought the album Pump on CD in 1991, and man, if CDs wore out, I would have worn it out.
Is that the one with all the nipples? No, that's the one with all the nipples on the cover.
No, Pump had a truck on the front.
Don? What's the title?
I don't know Aerosmith as well as I thought.
Googling Aerosmith nipple. Oh, Pump, get a grip.
Pump had Love in an Elevator. It had Janie's Got a Gun.
Mm-hmm.
Get a grip. The actual disc just had all of their nipples.
What?
See? Like the CD.
Oh, that's
back
so
when I
gross.
Was a kid, they had CDs.
Oh, that's terrible.
And you just, all their nipples.
That is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Oh, man. That's all I remember. Because there was a cow on the front, and so they put, I'm assuming, bare nipples.
That's kind of funny.
On the thing. Get a grip. Of the utter.
It's a classic.
Gross. Something gross. Wrong with the world today.
Kaya, your thoughts on Aerosmith? You've been very suspiciously quiet.
I'm a cake girl myself. I'm gonna stick with that.
Stick with cake.
Okay.
I always confuse cake and spoon. I just, in my head, I combine them as one band.
They're very, very different.
You use one to eat the other.
It's the names.
It's all kitchen stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a spoon fan. I like me some spoon.
I like spoon.
Spoon's
I also like spoons.
Cake isn't actually, the name is not like cake, the food cake, though. It's like cake, the action to cake.
Oh,
what?
It is?
It is, yes.
Oh. I never knew that.
It's a verb.
Uh-huh.
What is to cake?
Huh. So, like, you can cake, like,
something onto
something.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I gotcha. Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah.
I always thought they were named after cake.
Yeah, me too.
Silly me.
Wow.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
On that note.
Episode. Hey, lucky number 7. Episode
Woo!
7 of Echo Quest. And you guys, at this point, at this stage, you can safely say you've seen about 90% of the map of this level
wow.
of the spire.
Wow. Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, you are, you've cleared most of it out. Last time,
spoiler alert,
a couple weeks ago, you had effectively searched the far eastern half of these ruins, which you hadn't done yet. You found a bedchamber. With a nice fluffy bed, human-sized, with a bone scroll case or tube on the nightstand, in which you found a parchment. And Soli was able to identify the rune, the emerald ink rune, as Aslanti.
Hmm.
Normally, and it was the number 6.
When I find a tube on a stranger's bedstand, I leave it alone.
You don't.
And not us. Not this group.
The Soli rubbed their hands all over it.
Oh, yes. Diving in.
Over and over again. Making the others very uncomfortable. And then you searched. Well, you did this before, but you searched another sort of tunnel that led outside. Pile of goblin bodies. You saw what appears to be a different secret entrance to this ruined lair of these goblins. But all the time you were drawn to what appeared to be this large room in the center of the complex. Eglodora could feel it emanating magical energies. It was flanked by double doors to the east and double doors to the west. When you opened them, you found that, in fact, there's this column of semi-translucent emerald stone that is emanating extremely powerful magic. And this stone column is cutting off these two doors from each other. In fact, splitting the room into what amounts to a large spiral staircase going around this stone. One side, the first one you found, going up. The second one, and now you assume it goes up into the tower that you originally saw from the clearing. Mm-hmm. You could see the ruins, and you saw a tower rising above it. On the other side, you found the descending side, The stairs going down into darkness. You heard some strange sort of moaning sounds echoing up those stairs. And straight across from you, the last thing that we saw before we blacked out, before you all blacked out and collapsed to the floor.
I had been drinking the whole
time. Was another Aslanti rune. This one carved into this stone, into this magical stone. And it's the number one. Asoli identifies it as. It sort of might be saying level one, or this parchment you might have might be referring to level six. Who knows?
Yeah.
Does that mean that this was level one?
I think this is level one.
So we this
level,
was
one, level one goblins rotting food.
Level one open gods rotting cheese.
No, that was just shoddy robots.
That was just a mandatory
women's lingerie.
That's the mandatory tutorial that you have to do before you even start the actual.
Yeah,
adventure.
This is the tutorial level. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So then we would have stairs leading to presumably two, and then stairs leading to sub one.
I don't know. That's what I'm more curious about is the numbering.
Because there was
convention.
No number.
There's no numbering on the other side. Yeah. So yeah. The numbers seem to just go down, down, down.
Maybe they mean nothing.
Right.
Maybe they're irrelevant.
Which staircase have you less prepared?
We go up.
We choose that.
No comment.
Yeah.
No comment.
Avoid a lot of special attacks that way.
Yeah. That's the best way to catch a GM with his pants down.
Both stairs are prepared equally inadequately.
Okay.
All right. Then so we go in the other room. So we don't go on the stairs.
Two of us go down. Two of us go up. We're all for this.
I just vomited in my lap. Oh, dear.
So there's one.
Oh, dear.
As far as we know, there's one room left on this level that we haven't checked out yet. So
there's a lot of map, though, but yeah.
There's
a lot of uncovered map.
That's true. This could all be a huge tunnel
chamber
dug into the wall or whatever else.
But yeah, we don't know. Have two more doors that seem to lead to the same area that we have not gone through.
Yep. That you also sensed magic from. We just don't know if it was magic from this or magic from this really powerful tower.
Residual.
It certainly seems like these doors are going to lead us into even more of these tutorial level spaces.
Right. Yeah.
This is where we learn to jump and draw our weapon.
This is where you learn the wall run.
the completionist in me says we got to check out those doors.
We got to see.
In fact, Efegaladora, you even happen to cast your eyes to that other door, the job is done for you as the door is open.
Now?
What?
Open. I look over and it's suddenly open.
No, it was open. So you guys came around to this double door and opened it. Egladora went on the far side of your formation, giving her an angle into this other room. The door that originally was in, that faces east in the room where you finished your first combat in episode 3. That door, which once was closed, is now open, ajar, ajar.
Egaladora brings her dancing lights into that room then to see everything fully and very quietly starts walking over to the door.
Okay.
I'll follow her.
You quietly start walking over to the door, and as you're able to peer through the slight bits of it that are ajar, the slight angle of it that's ajar, you see a couple tables and some chairs.
No!
You creep closer. Now your dancing lights are in the room. You, you push them through the door. They're in the room, and you can see these tables and chairs. You come up to the door. And what do you do?
Perception.
What's your bonus?
6.
You don't hear anything.
Do I see anything with
you
the lights?
You see food. Rotting food.
Oh man.
On top of these tables.
I'm right behind her, and I can see. You know, I get a little bit of a view here into the room.
I'm just going to walk into the room.
Yeah.
You push the door aside, and you reveal what is clearly a goblin mess hall. A couple tables filled with food, some rotting, some fresh. And now, it seems, abandoned. stands to reason that you're, that maybe there were goblins in the mess hall during the attack that hunkered down, didn't come out to fight, and then left once they thought the coast was clear, or after you had passed through.
Hmm.
You can see little footsteps leading out of the room that have, like, the blood of a carcass they were just eating on their feet. The filthy, filthy creatures.
Those sneaky little shits. Sorry,
yeah.
Mordecai.
Yeah.
No offense taken.
You see, the main thing that's really... obviously, there's a stench in the room of just rotting food, but really pungent right on top of the table that grabs your nose is just a fresh, like pretty fresh, hindquarters of what looks like maybe a coyote-sized sort of creature. And it's just like the hind ripped out, and they're just like eating it
so
raw.
Most likely when we went around and fought those other fights with the robot and whatnot, anyone who was in here took off and left the door open.
Took off out, yeah, left out toward the west.
Here's the real problem with this map. Obviously, we shouldn't know this, but we can't help but see there's a giant portion of the map that's been uncovered, which can be one of three things. One, a secret door that leads into another portion that we're missing. Two, just all filled up with green, and that's how they drew the map. Or it's like an inset map that they put in there that one of those staircases is going to lead into. Now, obviously, I'm not supposed to know that.
It could just be outside. It could just be outside.
It could be. It could be.
Right, or it could be the upstairs or the downstairs, depending on... Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, exactly. Right. I can't not think about it, and I want to bring it up to everyone.
Well, would we know? But we would know.
I need to talk about it.
We would have a familiarity with the shape of the tower itself, so...
To know that going up or down.
Yeah, but just to know...
Oh, yeah.
When
like,
we looked
from the
at
out,
it from
looking
the
at the outside of the tower.
Was it just the centerpiece, or did it have a big bulk of other thing behind it?
Yeah.
True. That's
or is
true.
It outside? Like, is this just the edge of the tower?
Well, you never went there. You never went to that part of the tower.
Hmm.
We
I thought we like circled
front.
Around it. I thought we did a loop around it.
Oh, did you?
I thought we did.
Okay. If you did, then you must have failed the perception on the secret back entrance. I guess you must have failed that.
No, I don't think we if went you around it.
Oh, yeah. We would have seen this.
Yeah. You would have seen the trail going up into a wall.
Yeah, I think we just had to make a decision between front door and side door.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah. Okay.
You're welcome to go look if you'd like. Take some more time.
Yeah, I'm down to walk around the outside a bit if we want to go out this back door again and just...
Well, now we also have the decision to make. Do we take the lockbox back to Arena now and then come back and choose a staircase based on literally flipping a coin? Or do we just go check that out and come back in and hit the staircase now without seeing Arena?
No, I think...
This... What are you going to say, Skid?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, just like... Me, I'm a completionist sometimes in video games, not always, but this feels like the moment where we should go back to Arena because she can give us something that will help us with the next part, whereas if we keep the lockbox, we can't do anything with it, and we might hinder ourselves.
Good point. Yeah, it's time to turn in the quest.
Time to turn the quest and get that gold.
Put a bow on it.
Yeah, get the reward.
And then we can kind of kill two birds and do a loop of the tower.
Yeah,
on
good
our
idea.
Way there,
yeah, good idea.
See what's going on.
Yes,
we'll go out the back way and circle.
Yeah, that's all I want to do. I just want to get a look at the back of it to see... if it looks like more building or not.
Right.
Brilliant plan, guys. Brilliant.
Good
I like
plan.
It. I like it.
Okay.
Joe
hates this plan. No, I don't. It was just Sydney and I were talking before we jumped on and recorded. I had recommended a book to her.
Oh, yeah.
Called House of Leaves. I don't know if anybody's ever read it. It's amazing,
it's
mind-bending,
so
psychologically. It's a crazy book.
Is it about Jane Leaves?
No.
From Frasier?
It is not.
Absolutely not.
No?
No, but what it is about is a... Well, it's about so many
things.
Hold
on. Let's watch Joe try to explain House of Leaves.
I know, but basically the reason it's relevant now is as you go outside and start cycling around the ruin, you do in fact see that that is just a wall. So what this map is hiding, the map that you see, there's nothing there from the outside. So in House of Leaves, there's a house where nothing is beyond this wall, but there's a door in the wall that opens and goes into somewhere, but
and
it's just a yard out back.
There's a
they
part,
can't understand how it's there.
There's a part where they measure the inside of the house, and then they measure the outside of the house looking at blueprints, and somehow the inside of the house is larger than what they measure the outside of the house to be.
What are you telling me about?
And it just fucks you
it
up.
It starts
as a leader.
There, and then it becomes this amazing journey.
Did you? Were you inspired from House of Leaves for this map by perchance?
Yeah. When I drew this map, that was my yes.
Why'd you put north south?
Because not everything is oriented to you, Troy. You can see that that's just a rounded wall, exactly as it looks from the inside.
Looks normal.
So that is an inset, which is filled with unbelievably valuable treasure, if you can get there. But how do you get there is the question. So you look at the outside, you see there's nothing of interest there, and that means it's time to start heading to Arena. Is that right? Is that the plan?
Yes.
Okay. So as you make your way past the clearing, the same way that you had come, and find off to the west of the ruins the path that you had come in from, the game trail or whatever it was that made your passage through there easy. You start to move through and head back the way you came. It's actually late now, and you have a long journey ahead of you. The question is, how do you want to proceed? Do you want to move through the wood at night? It would be nighttime just before you got there, theoretically. Or do you want to set up camp before it gets dark and then hike out to Arenas the next day? You have both options.
I think it might be, if we can get there, we can get there before dark.
You can't get there before dark. If it's going to take you 3 or 4 hours to get there, the last hour will be in complete darkness.
Oh, then we should probably make camp.
So it's probably like 6:30 right now-ish, and it's summer, so it's the light is here longer, but it's going to be, you know, you're not going to get there until after 9, basically.
I would do either.
Yeah.
I would say, if it was up to me, I would say travel until, as long as the light holds, make camp, and then go the rest of the way in the morning.
I think that's a good idea. Get as far away from this spire.
Get away from the spire, for sure.
Okay. So as you start moving away, you're going to go until the sun goes down a little bit further before you camp. You're moving along, and at one point, Eglodora notices something rather strange. Previously, you had come through this way, this path, and you had passed a particularly interesting stone. It was rather large, 10 feet tall, probably, a good, hefty circumference around, another 10 feet in circumference or something like that. So a large standing stone that stuck out to you, particularly Eglodora, because it just had something about it that reminded you of stories you'd been told about the Seven Arches and the whole area, this druidic sort of circle of stones in the area where you were raised and came from. And what's odd to you now is that, not that there's anything particularly different or interesting about the stone, but you remember specifically where you were on the trail when you passed the stone. You passed the stone on your left, and a little while after, you made a turn in the intersection to continue heading south this way toward the spire. Now, as you're coming back... I said it was on your left, right? Now, as you're coming back, it should be on your right, this large stone in the same path. It's on the other side of the path. It's on the left side. So either this stone moved, or you have passed the stone and circled around, and you're going back toward the spire somehow, which is impossible, you think. But the path, even as you go by it, you note this, you say, hold on a minute, but the intersection where you took the left, you never made a right to come back. There was never an intersection. So essentially, you find yourself extremely uncomfortable with where you are right now. It seems like something's off.
I relay that to the party, and I explain, I have a an immensely wonderful sense of direction. I know the woods well. I may not know these woods, but I keep in my mind certain things. And this stone, I remember, it's huge. I mean, you guys remember this stone?
Yeah, I remember that stone.
I'm telling you, when we came to the Emerald Spire, it was on the left. It's impossible that it would be on the left again.
I guess now that you mention it, yeah, it should be on the other side of the road, right?
And we didn't make a single turn. I'm sorry, guys. Maybe I'm tired. Maybe it's dark, and maybe we should just set up camp here. But I feel not great about this. Something's wrong.
Yeah, this is weird. How do you feel, Sully?
Do we want to set up camp by something that makes us feel uncomfortable?
Yeah, well, that's a
good
point.
Well, no, I didn't mean right next to the stone. Maybe we could move away from that, but...
Set up camp on the stone.
We wait on the stone and see if it moves. Can I do a check on the stone? A nature check?
Sure.
Just to see if maybe there is something... Maybe the stone did move. I mean, I don't know.
Sure.
Do you want me to roll or you want
to roll? You can roll this one, sure.
Okay. 19.
Nothing remarkable. You examine the ground where it is, where, you know, could it have moved? Is it, you know, oddly sort of disturbed around the base of it? No, it's, you know, obviously you didn't examine it so thoroughly last time, so you can't really be sure. You just sort of took note of it. There's something at the side of your vision. But now as you examine it thoroughly, there's nothing different about it.
I don't think Cleon would know this, but I know that this whole area is infested with Fae, and this reeks of Fae trickery to me, but I don't know.
And Irina specifically was, like, disgusted with the Fae, if I remember right. She said something. Did she?
Is that right?
Yeah, she mentioned mischievous Fae.
Yeah.
And she was like, she really didn't like the Fae.
Yeah.
Does anybody have experience with like, Fae or anything?
No.
No.
You would be our only sort of...
Why don't you...
Wait, is Sylvan Fae?
Yes.
What do you mean, Sylvan?
The language, Sylvan.
Is that Fae?
I don't think
no,
so.
No, I think
I think they can speak Sylvan, but I don't think it's... It's the language of the Fae.
Yeah, they have their own. It's not called Fae. They have some other language, I think, that they use.
Is it different than 5e? Sylvan is Fae in 5e.
It is the language of the Fae.
Yeah, well, I mean they have a bunch of other ones also.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they probably would. I would guess it's a widely used language.
All right, what is your nature bonus?
Six.
Six. Okay. Yeah. You know a little bit about Fae, and it, you know, occurs to you that this is not something that would ever have anything to do with Fae. Like, it's just not...
They wouldn't do this.
They wouldn't do this, no.
Perhaps the magics of the spire are altering the landscape, either actually physically altering it or toying with our perspective.
Trying to let us not leave, make us stay?
Perhaps. Or keeping us from returning.
Well, we have two options. We can keep walking in this direction, which we believe is the right direction, despite what the stone is, it's on the wrong side. Or we can veer off the path and make camp and wait until it's light out. What?
The surrounding area looks... different than before, or looks the same?
Mostly the same, though it's not really remarkable. Okay. You know, so there weren't characteristics about it that made it stand out from any other part of the wood.
I recommend we camp
here.
Not near this rock, please.
Yeah.
A slight ways away. Seems to be no reason to explore in almost darkness when we're worried that the tower is just pulling us back.
Is it dark already?
No.
No. What if we keep walking? What if we just walk a bit further and see if it is indeed leading us back to the Emerald Spire?
Yeah, see if it's familiar, anything, we can orient ourselves further. Yeah, let's keep going a little bit, at least.
Okay. The same direction you were going.
Kaya was right, by the way. Sylvan is the language of the Fae.
Oh, okay, awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, nice work. My other campaign, my D&D 5e campaign, I play a character that's super Fae, so I was like,
I'm mostly speaking Sylvan. When I was growing up, the guy, the concert promoter in Denver, was this guy, Barry Fae. It's like every time I hear Fae, like I think of like
good old
going
Barry.
To see Aerosmith, like McNichols Arena.
And it all comes together.
It all comes together.
You continue in the way you were heading. You don't about face to put the stone on the correct side. You keep it on the wrong side and keep moving.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. As you keep going, like I said, it's not dark yet, but you know, it's summertime. So the light stays for a while and then all of a sudden it just goes whoop, like real quick. It'll get dark towards the end of your journey. As you keep going, though, up this path, it widens a little bit, and it gets a few less trees. Hmm. You don't remember this. Yeah. You didn't come this way in your initial passing. But it still feels, especially like if, you know, Eglador, you're looking at the position of the sun, it seems right, right? The sun is low in the sky, so you can tell which direction it is. You feel like you're going in the right direction. You just don't remember the path looking this way. It widens a bit till it's 10, 15 feet across and seems almost like a cart path or something like that. Like it's wide enough that, you know, a cart could pass through. Some trees have been cleared from the edges of the path. It's rather strange. And so as a result, you guys all start to go into exploration mode. You start to feel like something is up, something's happening. So tell me what you're doing as you're on this new path.
Just perceiving.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think I would stealth. Just looking around, trying to orient ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's going on?
Makes sense here.
Survival, maybe.
It's wide open. You know, it's could hard to stealth.
Can we do survival as we move? Is that like an exploration thing?
Sure. Yeah.
Well, that's probably
the way that I read it is, or the way that I would handle it is, if you were doing survival and you picked up a track of something that then attacked you, like you would get a bonus beyond just your. Survive, you know, like I would give you your perception plus your survival or something to initiative because you were tracking something. In this case, you can do a survival to see if you see any particular tracks.
I'm going to do survival to see if I see.
What's your bonus?
Six.
I think survival that would fall under like orienteering too. So
yeah,
just trying to get a sense of like using the sun or the stars too to figure
out
where we
exactly
are.
I sort of like just gave it to you because I figure, you know, this is basic sort of survival stuff and you're very acquainted with woodland life. So getting lost is not something that happens easily for you. Since you've been a kid, you've moved alone in the woods and stuff. So you look, you're looking down for particular tracks or something that passed through here, and you don't notice any. No tracks of any note. The rest of you are all perceiving. Everybody give me your perception bonuses. Isoli, Cleon, and Mordecai.
Four.
Plus three.
That's right, plus three. Okay, and finally,
plus six.
Plus six, okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
As you're moving through, Isoli is like, shh, wait. Stop. Say wait and stop in Isoli's voice.
Wait, stop.
Oh, you nailed it.
That was so good.
Oh, my God.
Isoli. Wow.
My God, you like were Isoli right then.
We have no more auditions today.
Cancel the afternoon's auditions. We're good.
Save myself.
Isoli, you stop the group from moving. And I imagine you're behind Cleon. You usually stick pretty close to Cleon, and Cleon's usually in charge of things. So, moves ahead
he's
of everybody.
He's in front of
everything. Right, so he's in front of everything. So as he's moving along, you're like, wait, stop. You put a hand on Cleon. Over his left shoulder, you quietly point, and you all follow Isoli's finger to look, and in the distance, a long distance away, maybe 100 feet or more, through the trees and the shifting light as the sun starts to go down, you can see movement. And as Isoli looks closer, she sees skeletons walking.
Oh, man.
In the wood. I'd like you to refer to the map.
Oh,
oh.
Whoa.
Nice map.
Oh, look at these trees.
Oh.
Yeah, so you're...
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I know this map.
So nice.
I've used this map.
How about we lift the screen? Isoli rolled a natural 20. Natural 20 on the perception was enough to not only see the danger, spot it, but was enough to identify that there are six skeletons.
Oh, man.
So you can see them in the distance, and it appears they're moving, slowly walking away, like the same direction you are, but off the path, a good 50, 60 feet off to the west as you head north back to Arenas. They're walking the same direction as you at a slower pace, and they haven't seen you yet. What do you do?
I actually have one question first. In regards to our charity donations, are these nat 20s only combat nat 20s?
They're nat 20s with the attack trait.
Ah, all right.
Sorry, kids.
My brain thought immediately about books, and I got a little lost.
Didn't hear anything else. By the way, there's skeletons, in case you didn't hear that.
There's skeletons, and Soli's just like, oh, books.
Okay, we will do anything in our power to cheat these children out of their books.
It's been working well so far. Yeah.
So far, so good.
We're feeling it.
How many are there?
There are six.
Six.
Six skeletons.
Relaying all of this.
And they do appear, obviously, to be... I guess it's not obvious. They are armed. So, you know, if you look closely again, your natural 20 just knocks it out of the park, and you're able to see that they are, you know, wielding... A few of them are holding... scimitars at their side, and a few of them are holding short bows at their side.
Oh, right up Cleon's alley. What do you got, a club, right?
I got a club.
Yeah, you're going to be great.
In the club. I'm ready. I don't know how to deal with this, though, because they're walking ahead of us.
They're ahead of you and through some trees. Anywhere you see trees, that's all difficult terrain to move through.
Hmm. I wonder if we should just, like...
Leave them.
Leave, yeah, go camp... Like, sneak up to the right side, not where they are, and just camp off the path and just let them... It's dark now.
It's so tricky because right now we have to jump on them.
Right.
Whereas if we
make camp and they find us...
Right. Well, my other thought is, what if they're doing a patrol and then they circle back around? That's where my head's at.
I think we should try to take them out now if we can. I just don't know how to go... I don't know how to go about it, though.
Right.
I don't know whether to lure them to us or to try to...
What if we set a trap? What if we lure them with one person onto the path and then people can still get the surprise attack from a different area?
Yeah, that could work.
That's a good idea. Hide in the underbrush.
Yeah.
And one of us be the decoy to draw them to the path. That's really good.
Yeah, I like
Who's got the three of us with the best stealth, I guess, would make the most sense. I have a +5 to stealth.
As do I.
My stealth is not good at all. So.
Mine's only +4.
Actually, yeah, mine's +4 too.
Rock, paper, scissors, decoy.
Wait, I'll be the decoy.
How far away did you say they are right now?
50? No, like 100 feet.
Okay, yep. I definitely can't use any of my spells.
Yeah, they're over 100 feet away right now.
Okay. Let's do it.
And Joe, to the right hand side, like pretty much right where our characters are right now, that's bushes.
Yep.
We could hide, assumingly.
Yep. Anything that you see that looks raised, you could hide in and is also difficult terrain.
Cool.
The only things that aren't difficult terrain are the path and the grasslands that are around the bushes and off the path. They're sort of like rough. Like, think of a golf course, rough. Like, that's the long grass, but you can move through it easily. But then brush and trees would all be considered difficult terrain, because you're moving under the trees, and there's a couple things. You know, you've got to work your way around them. Everything also offers cover to everybody that's between or, behind them. Cover is a small bonus. Give you a +2, unless you do an extra action to take cover, where you can make it +4.
All right, what if we stealth and hide... off the to the west of the path in the bushes, and if Cleon stays on the path further north, we could try to sneak up behind them. Maybe
if we all hide, I can also try and just like message one of them and get them all to turn around with all of us hiding. That's the only thing I have that reaches them.
Yeah, or I could just yell.
Or you can just scream at them.
Yeah.
But then they know at least that you are there and where you are.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm always down for you just screaming, though.
Love a good Cleon scream.
I do want to get...
Then we know exactly where they're headed to, so we know what they're focused on.
Yeah.
As opposed to encouraging them to look around for things.
Man. Yeah, I'm thinking just me being the decoy. Anyone who's the decoy, since they have bows, is going to get a whole bunch of arrows shot at them is the problem.
So maybe it should be the person with the best AC, which... I think it's me.
What's your... It's 19?
19.
Yeah, that could be.
I could just... Yeah.
Or what's message? What was that idea? What does message do?
Message is just that I can send them a message, so I can say something, and essentially they'll hear it in their ear as if it's right next to them. They're still not gonna know, like, what it is, though, but I could, you know, in some way draw their attention to turn around. This might be me being judgmental, but I was assuming the skeletons were not that intelligent.
They're probably not super smart.
Just as a way to get them to turn around that we could all be hiding. But again, that doesn't mean they're going to rush in or be distracted or listen or any of those things.
Yeah. Well, I think just anything that will for sure like bring them into the trap.
So I say best bet is Mordecai. Just...
I'll stand there and I'll take it.
Showing right. up.
Everyone hide.
Yeah.
I'm going to... Yeah.
Okay. So let's try...
All right, so place yourselves on the map where you want to hide.
All right. Cleon stealthily runs up the trail, runs off of it, and ducks into these bushes here.
Okay.
At the southern side of this little gap that we hope for
them. All right, so you guys
through.
Are still behind them, but you've closed the distance. You're only now, what... 30 or 30 feet away?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're 30 feet away from the last skeleton in line, and Mordecai is staying some 100 feet away from the skeletons, back on the path where you guys originally were, so now...
This looks great.
So now if Mordecai calls and they come toward Mordecai, they would have to pass by you guys, right. and you're going to try and ambush. That's This is the plan?
That's the plan.
This is my plan.
This is what you think is going to work.
For better or worse.
It's been locked in at this point.
We thought of it and we like it.
I'm down with it. All right, everybody roll for initiative.
All right.
Woo-hoo! Doggy!
Roll, Ricka, roll.
Oh,
shit.
Oh, no. We got an oh shit from Cleon.
I also did not great.
Okay.
This is
you guys are supposed to be setting an ambush.
So
come on.
It's a good thing we're hiding because I guess we'll just wait until their turn goes.
All right. Who's got higher than 20?
I got a 21.
21 for Brother Mordecai. All right.
Nice.
How about higher than 15? Nobody. All right. Who's next?
I'm at 10.
Ooh. 10. Cleon. Eglodora.
5.
5. And Isoli.
6.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Good job.
Ooh. That's a rough start. But, appropriately enough, your in-house badass paladin rolled super high. So we'll start with him.
Let me ask you this. Can I speak as a free action?
Yeah.
But then if I want to take any sort of action, like even one of my three actions, I can't save my other two actions for later, right?
Yeah, you can ready an action that costs two actions.
You can, okay.
So if you wanted to speak, then move, then ready an action, you can do that.
Okay. This is going to be like, oh no! Skeletons! I hope they're not after my treasure!
And all of a sudden, clinkety clinkety clankety clankety, is all their heads like turn.
The last thing in the world that I want is for them to come charging after me, vulnerable as I am.
Down here.
Oh no, honey, hide the gold and the babies. And then I will take a move action to walk into this brush,
okay.
Thereby like giving myself some cover,
okay.
Hoping that they'll give chase. So that's one action to move. At this point, readying an action would take up the rest of my two actions. But I'll say, if any of them come within striking range, there's really nothing I can do at this point. So that's going to be my turn.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So hearing you, they turn and begin moving toward the sound. Shagunk, gunk, gunk, gunk. Here come the skellies. They are still moving through difficult terrain, so it's, you know, it's tough to cover a lot of gap, but the farthest one back is able to move till it's about 10 feet from Eglodora and Isolde, hidden in the bushes, about 20 feet from Cleon, and does not seem to detect them, and it's moving toward Brother Mordecai, and the rest all start to follow. The ones with bows, the ones that were farther away actually find an easier way through the path. There's a gap there that allows them to get through a little bit easier, and they double move down, but they're still pretty far away from everybody. But they kind of ruin the ambush because they come from a slightly different angle. However, three of them are coming straight through the alley of death that you guys have set up. As to when you choose to jump out, that is up to you. And that would lead us to Cleon's turn. So they're moving toward Mordecai, Cleon, but the first one is still about 20 feet away from you.
Yeah, I could jump out here and try to knock this thing's skull off, but I am just going to... I'm going to hold.
Okay. Cleon is going to delay. Isolde.
I feel like we set this up so nicely, I don't want to ruin it by shooting them when they're still so far away, so I am also going to hold.
Also delay. Eglodora.
Delay.
Delay. Okay, so the ambush lies in wait, and we move to round two. It comes back to Mordecai.
Delay.
Delay. Okay. We return to...
Come to us, please.
We return to the skeletons. The first skeleton that had moved up. Now... Nobody readied any actions, so he's going to complete his turn. Then you guys can go. So one moves past. Another one can get somewhat past, and another one can get... the last one doesn't even
awesome.
Know. He is smack in the middle of this
that's
ambush.
Awesome.
You guys, fantastic job, by the way.
Nice.
Fantastic job. I'm surprised at how... Well, the only reason you all went after the skeletons is because you all rolled so horribly.
Yeah.
Their perceptions are terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. So low initiative typically, and they are not going to see an ambush coming. The other ones that are more to the north are also... Man, I'm trying to talk and do math at the same time. Is this what it's like, Troy? They are double moving as well.
Okay.
And now they're on the northern path moving down toward Mordecai, kind of nowhere near the ambush.
And they're the ones with bows, with ranged weapons?
The ones with bows are the ones without helmets on. Ones with helmets on have... I'm sorry. Yeah. The ones with helmets on have scimitars.
All right. Something to keep in mind.
Sort of scrappy armor. Oh, you know what? Let me also say something else. As they're walking through the ambush, the first one... Boom, is walking through. I just pictured, all I can see is Skyrim. When I think of skeletons these days, I just think of the roaming skeletons of Skyrim. They're moving past you in the underbrush with some purpose towards Mordecai. And that's when you see something rather interesting. Each of them on their skull has carved into the front of their skull, over in between their eyes, a symbol that you can see very clearly, and it is a skull. The symbol is a skull, and it's crowned. It's wearing a crown.
Wow.
So it is a crowned skull. It looks like a sigil of a crowned skull, and it is imprinted on the front, the forehead of their skulls. Also, you notice as they pass closely by you that within their bones... You see some various... It catches the light as the sun is going down. At that angle, you can see the reflection of light on some small emerald shards that are in their bones.
Oh, wow.
As they're moving past you. Hmm. Their turn is over. They're all just still moving. Everybody was delaying, and we're back to Cleon. So, actually, since you guys all delayed, technically, you could all go whenever you want right now. If you want to discuss who wants to jump in when. But the actual order was Cleon, Isolde, Eglodora, and Mordecai. So
I would,
you can go when you want.
I think I had the the top of the initiative, yeah?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter.
Right, it doesn't matter at this point. I'm wondering.
You guys can strategically say real quick where you want to go, but like, make it quick.
If I went running out right now at the one that's making its way towards me, I'm leaving myself open to the two bowmen to the north.
Correct.
I almost feel like we should.
But I'm going to go, if you do that, I'm going to go right after you, so they'll at least have two targets to look at.
That's true. And I do have high AC, and I'll be behind a skeleton.
All of you will go before they go again, if you all decide to go this round.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and enact then. Let's make it happen.
So remember, take an extra 5 feet to get out of that brush.
All right, well, I'm going to have to double stride anyways to get, I won't be able to move past him unless he doesn't have a reaction. We don't know that.
He probably doesn't, I would guess.
He has a bow.
He has a bow anyway. Yeah.
Oh, he has a bow, so I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to move right up to him, creating a barrier between him and the other skeletons. And I'm going to go ahead and attack with my Rancer. I thought about using my fist where it's bludgeoning, but that -2, I don't think I can avoid the non-lethality, even as a worshiper of Aurora. It just gives me a higher damage die if I hit. Mm. It's one of the Aurora traits, but I'll go ahead and
can make it lethal.
But you take a -2 to the attack.
Yeah.
I'd rather just see if I can hit. Because if I hit with the Rancer, I may end up doing more damage anyway. So
right, even with,
one attack here. I forgot I have reach, but whatever, it's a 12 to hit.
12 to hit is a miss.
Yep.
Oh.
Really bad, really
so
bad.
So swing and a miss, and so that was your turn. Okay.
Yep.
Who wants to act next?
I will go.
All right.
I will go.
Okay.
Cleon is... He's going to... Hey, surprise, Skelly! he's gonna jump out, and he's going to swing twice if he needs to. First attack with the club, with the great club. Natural 20!
For the kids! For the children!
For the kids, guys.
All right.
Hey, there it is.
Put it in the bank.
I missed that sound.
First book. Remember, we're donating to first book right now.
Yes.
Charity to give books to lower income areas, which is just awesome. All right, awesome. Skid, what do you got? So you're going to roll your damage, add the bonus, and then double it.
Yeah, that is 20 points of bludgeoning damage.
Cleon jumps out of this bush and shatters a skeleton to pieces.
Yes.
Awesome. Shatters the first one to pieces. Love this this ambush plan. What a fantastic plan.
Wow,
well done,
this worked out. This worked out really well. And then with his last action, he's going to move to flank the skeleton that Mordecai's fighting.
Okay.
So he's going to move like 10 feet over to get behind it.
Okay, great round. Who's next? Isoli or Egiladora? You guys choose.
Do you have a preference?
You can go right ahead.
All
right,
I will go ahead. And they're skeletons, so I really want to shoot fire at them.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
I am going to do that thing and use a produce flame.
Okay. So produce flame, and you're going to fire it at the skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And is it an attack roll?
It is, yes.
Okay.
Is a 13 going to hit?
13 misses.
Damn.
Oh, no.
So fire goes into the bushes where Egiladora is, and it starts flaming around her. What do you do? Oh, wait. That's just two actions, right?
That's just two for me. But I honestly just kind of want to
stay
in my little bush hiding spot here. Not that they might not know that I'm here, but...
Okay.
That's another good band. Bush.
Bush. Another good one.
Yeah.
Egiladora.
I am going to also pop out of my bush.
Surprise!
Surprise! Yell surprise! And I am going to cast Electric Arc.
Oh, that's genius.
Both of these bow-wielding.
The two bowmen they're right together.
And that is a basic reflex save.
Basic reflex save. Okay, so the
seems
closest
like something
one.
Something they'll be bad at.
Hopefully. Yeah.
The closest one to you, Cleon, and Mordecai will go first. You got a 16 reflex save.
My DC is 16. Oh, so he saves.
So he saves. The other one fails.
Nice.
The basic reflex save.
Beautiful.
All right, so the first one you hit, go ahead and do roll the damage, and this is going to be half damage.
So he will take 1 point of damage.
1 point of damage. You see, it does nothing to him.
Oh no.
Go ahead and roll the other one.
Resistance.
Three.
It does no damage.
No effect.
Resistance 5, perhaps?
Does anybody have religion? Do you have religion?
I do.
I have religion as well.
All right, you probably didn't see this, Morty, unless you think you did.
I see.
From a distance.
Goblin eyes.
from Aurora's monastery in the north, yes. Mordecai sees all, hears all.
Do you mean trained in religion or just have...
No, you don't need to be trained in it.
I have a plus 3.
Wait, do you need to be trained to recall knowledge? I don't think so. Plus 3?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what the heck? We'll give it to you. How about a natural 20?
Whoa!
I'm a genius.
Not right. Too shabby.
Even if you're untrained in religion, you can use it to recall knowledge.
Yeah, that's what I thought. All right, so you immediately are able to realize these creatures are undead, and as a result, they have resistance 5 to everything, including slashing and piercing. So that's the way they do it. Instead of DR, it's resistance fire, cold, electricity. Sorry, no resistance to acid. Fire, cold, electricity, piercing, and slashing.
Resistance 5?
Wow. Resistance 5.
My damage is only a D4.
Oh, no.
All right, so on that note, I'm just going to...
In the bush.
I'm gonna pop back into the bush. With
that's amazing.
No, wait.
It's like Homer, like backing into the hedge.
I'm also not because I used all my actions.
Oh no!
Are you guys Simpsons fans? Sydney,
yes,
Kaya?
Yeah. And I do know the exact.
I am not, but I am aware.
Have you ever seen an episode, like a full episode, or have you like never
I've seen an episode. Okay, yeah, I've seen an episode.
That comes up a lot.
It's going to happen to come up a lot. All right, that's the end of the round. Top of round 3, the skeletons go. Here we go. It is time. I think the most vulnerable target right now. All right, so you know what? The first skeleton is, he just has his bow out, and he's going to fire at Mordecai. The first one to come up and swing at him. Maybe he doesn't even see that Cleon had come up behind him yet.
Okay.
And he's going to fire this short bow. That is a 15 to hit. So
miss.
It hits your armor, your splint mail, is it?
Yeah, splint mail.
Bounces right off. He'll take, what the heck? Might as well take another shot. Natural 20.
Oh, no.
Might as well take another shot. Natural 20. Cha-ching. 8 points of damage.
Ooh, it's not.
With the second arrow.
I don't like that.
Whew. And then the third arrow is a miss. So he fires off 3 real quick. Twang, twang, twang. Doesn't see the shadow of Cleon behind him. Next skeleton has his scimitar out, runs 10 feet around the bush up to the exposed Eglodora, who left herself open to attack and might not even see this skeleton whipping around the corner. He's going to come charging down with this scimitar at you. 24 to hit with the scimitar.
Man. Yeah.
Oof. And he does 6 points of slashing damage with the swing.
Thanks.
Comes back across from left to right for the second attack. And that is a miss at a 4. So you dodge out of the way of it.
Oof.
The two skeletons on the path to the north both simultaneously raise bows, almost as if their AI was identical. It raises up two bows. They draw arrows and fire. I'm going to roll 2d20s. So they both shoot at Cleon, a 16 and a 15 to hit.
The 16 hits.
16 and a 12 to hit.
Yeah.
So 12 would miss?
Yes.
So the 16 hits and does 4 points of damage.
Ow!
They draw a second arrow and fire, both missing. Cleon's out, felt the first one, turned to see the attack, dodge both of the second arrows, and the third arrows, ooh, that is actually, oh no, that's going to be an adjusted 14 to hit.
Cool.
So it misses, right? 14
yeah,
misses. Your AC 15. All right, so they stood their ground and their attacks both missed. The other skeleton that was the farthest away to the north... I'm going to say hasn't seen Eglodora yet because she actually is behind some bushes to his view. But can he, let's see, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 5, 10, 15, 20. He can get to Cleon in flanking position, but not flanking because the other one is not threatening Cleon in melee with a bow. So he's going to go ahead and swing at Cleon with a scimitar, 21 to hit.
That will hit.
He sinks his blade in for 6 points of damage.
Oh, man.
Drawing blood. And it is Mordecai's turn.
You know what? I'm going to drop the Rancer.
What?
And I'm going to step forward and start punching.
Oh, there you go. He's going all Mark Wahlberg.
Two attacks. Obviously, I'm going to try and make these lethal. That's a miss on the first one.
You're not my ally. Not you. And, not you. And not you.
I think the second one might be a hit. It's going to be a 17 to hit.
That is a hit.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, are you adding flanking, dude?
I am not, so...
Wait, do you add flanking or do you subtract from the AC? I can't remember a flanked creature. I think you add to your attack, but...
Do you?
I'll
I think it's
up.
Like Starfinder. You're just flat-footed when you're flanking.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think you're right.
But is that a critical... No.
A 17?
Yeah, no, he rolled 17.
How dare you?
See, his AC is not 7.
The first one would have been a 13 against flat-footed.
No, that is not.
All right, so let me try and get a die to hit the box. 6 points of bludgeoning.
6 points of bludgeoning. You shatter it to pieces.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's right in front of you.
Nice.
Straight through it. With your bare hands. I love it. You come up, punch once. It dodges. Oh. You punch the second time. Boom, knocks its head right off.
Okay, good.
Cleon. You now have the scimitar-wielding one behind you. The one in front of you is now shattered to pieces thanks to Mordecai's fighting skills.
Okay, so with the skeleton between Mordecai and I shattered and arrows in his back, Cleon whips around and sees the skeleton behind him with the scimitar that just hit him, and he's going to rage.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be like, I hate you!
So rage is there's a penalty to his cleverness.
Yes,
takes
exactly.
A minus two.
He's really mad. It's hard to say things when you're mad. It makes sense. That is a 15 to hit.
That is a miss.
Oh no!
Just barely a miss.
Okay. Second final attack. That is a 16.
16 is also a miss.
I'm sorry.
That is a hit.
Okay.
It is. Yes, it is a hit. I'm just double checking. Yeah, that is a hit.
Oh.
They're wearing this raggedy leather armor, and that's one of the things that's giving them a bonus to their AC.
7 points of damage.
7 points of bludgeoning. It is dead.
Yeah!
So boom, boom, boom. As long as you guys apply strong bludgeoning attacks and not stupid fire and electricity attacks, you can kill these things. They're going down one after another now. The tide is turning. It's Isoli's turn.
So we have Archer. The archers are the ones that are further up along the path.
Yes.
And then this other that's still in front of Eglodora.
Yep. So there's one scimitar wielder and 2 bow wielders. You've taken half of the skeletons out.
All right. So the one that's in front of Eglodora, I am going to use command and just say, drop your weapon.
Okay.
Ooh.
So you reach out and... to command it and realize as you start to penetrate into its mind that there's nothing there.
Mm.
There's no mind to command.
There's no there there.
There's no there there. And you realize that such a subtle and awesome spell will be ineffective against something without a mind.
Nice.
So it is ineffective, and that is a 2 action casting?
Yeah,
correct?
It is.
All right, so you still have an action. You can stay hidden in the bushes if you like.
Actually, I think I'm going to... Oh, no, I'm too far away. Yeah, I'm going to stay hidden in the bushes.
Okay.
Too far away to circle up around the other side.
Stay in the bushes, you Isoli!
The bushes! I'm ineffective in this fight. Sorry, guys.
Can you use the stealth action to hide where you have actions left? Is
yes.
that something you
yep,
can do?
You could. You could hide. Yep.
Sure, let's
You don't
do
seem
that.
To be under imminent danger, but yeah, you can
Nobody's
hide.
Nobody's really paying attention to me, but why not?
Terrific. Well done. Now, we come back to Eglodora. Eglodora, I want to mention something to you that I think your character would know, especially with a natural 20 on the knowledge check, and something that the way that you were raised in this druidic order
would have been something that was kind of common knowledge when it came to undead, and that is, don't forget that your heal spell can also be used to harm undead.
Yeah.
It has both effects. So you have that option.
True.
You don't have to trigger it, but I think Eglador would know that.
Yes.
My lay on hands can do the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank
positive
you.
Energy is going to cut through any resistances they have, go right to the core of their negative energy being, and fucking kill them!
The negative power that binds their bones together animates them. You can disrupt it. The necrotic evilness holding their joints together.
Speaking of Eglador.
Tear their necrotic ACL right out of the knee.
Take their necrotic meniscus out. Speaking of Eglador forgetting stuff, I forgot to add my bonus to my attack before, so it would have probably done like a point of damage.
It seemed a little low to me.
It was low. I was being silly, but you know what? I made a mistake. And
I'll tell you what.
It's fine.
I'll take 1 point of damage for you. How about that?
Off of each one?
Well, the other one wouldn't have been enough.
Dang it, you're right.
It's safe. Okay.
All right, cool. Great. I'm glad I did that. And now I am going to use dumb magic and do produce flame against this one wielding the scimitar.
Right next to you.
Right next to me.
So you're just going to produce
melee,
a flame.
Produce flame.
And then shove it right in his stupid skeleton face.
Right. Yes. And I would use heal, except I did use it in the spire, so I don't have that spell.
Yes, you're right. You guys haven't rested in a while.
Yeah, yeah,
that's right. It's just been 2 months since that fight.
We've been in the spire for so long.
All right, go ahead and roll an attack roll for me and make sure it's high enough to hit.
Max damage, so it's going to be 4 plus 3.
Well, you have to hit.
Oh,
right. Produce flame.
You're
is
right.
An attack
I forgot.
Roll, right?
It's not a save. Dang it.
You can roll that damage over.
18.
18 is a hit.
Nice.
And what was the final total damage?
4, 5, 6, 7.
7 total damage. Okay, so you do get through 2 points of fire damage to it. Doesn't kill it, but it is crackling on fire a little bit.
Hey, and then I'm going to move.
Round 4. Oh, you're going to move. Go ahead, move. And then round 4, it's their turn. Oh, back into the bushes.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I don't have a lot of hit points left.
Pop out. Pop
well,
back in.
He's
pop
coming,
out.
He's coming after you.
Oh, no.
He pushes in through the bushes, following exactly to where you went. Swings down with his scimitar. I am a beast over here. 22 to hit.
Oh,
7 points
ooh,
of slashing damage.
No.
And he's going to get another attack. You better hope this one's on a natural 20. That's a 13 to hit. So that is going to be a miss. 14 to hit. That is a miss. Our bow wielders are still up in the distance. They're just going to keep targeting Cleon. One already hit him. Got that taste for blood. First shot, the lowest one at Cleon, is a hit. 24. Almost a crit, actually.
Yeah.
And he does 2 points of damage.
Okay. Off my temporary points. Two off my
temporary. Ah, there you go.
Points.
Temporary. A second attack is going to miss. And then a third arrow is also going to miss.
Nice.
The back one also fires arrows one after another. Draws back. Fires at Cleon. Highest attack bonus to hit. Lowest roll of the day for me so far.
Yeah.
So it's a miss.
Yeah.
Second one. Oh, that's a 16 to hit.
That's a hit.
That is a hit. Second arrow goes in for 4 points of damage.
Ooh.
Last shot. Natty 2. Not going to hit.
Whew.
All right. So 1 arrow out of 6. Not too shabaroo. And it is Mordecai's turn.
All right. I am going to double move up to this first bow wielder here.
Yes.
Double stride, as it were. You know, the lay on hands is an automatic 1d6, and it rolls a fortitude save to see if its AC gets lowered by 2. But if I hit with a fist, it's 1d6 plus 4. Plus, I could crit. I'm just going to lay on hands and do an automatic 1d6 damage. So, go ahead and roll me a fortitude save.
A fortitude save. And what is this against?
What do you mean?
Okay.
It's not an attack. It doesn't have the attack trait, so it's just touch spells automatically hit.
Touch spells automatically, but the spell is lay on hand, so it's positive energy.
Uncommon healing, necromancy, and positive.
Okay. Yeah, I've saved.
You did, okay.
Oh, yeah. No.
But he takes 4 points of damage, positive energy damage.
Wow. That's half?
No, that's full. It's full damage. If you fail the save, you take a -2 to your AC.
Oh, so the full damage still goes through.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so if you're weak to it, maybe it takes a little
All right,
more.
So that does
you
kill
tell
him.
Me.
That kills
him. Oh, nice.
Him.
He just
awesome.
Walks up, kills
boom,
him. Touches him, and he shatters.
Yes.
That's great. That's cool.
So cool.
Okay, well done. It is Cleon's turn. Cleon, right. You are looking at one with a scimitar just disappeared into a bush following Eglodora. You hear her holler out in pain. That's about 25, 30 feet away from you. Also 25, 30 feet away from you in a V up to the north is this bowman that's about 10 feet from Mordecai, 15 feet from Mordecai.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay, so I'm going to try to help out Eglodora.
Okay.
Although, you know what? Actually, I'm going to charge up and get this bow-wielding guy off the field if I can first.
Okay.
So take one move action, and I'm going to take a mighty swing with the club and miss.
No!
And try again. And miss again. Awesome.
Good
job.
No!
Good job, Cleon.
Swing, this wily bow-wielding skeleton.
Oh, actually,
skeleton.
That might be a fumble. Yeah, that is... Oh, that's a 3.
That's an adjusted 3?
Yeah.
That is a fumble.
Oh, gross.
Gross! Nothing bad happens, though. You're fine. You just miss. And that brings it to his Soli's turn. So he's still hiding in the bush.
At this point, I'm... I'm going to have to do things that I don't normally do. So I'm just going to step out and use my crossbow.
Okay. So you got to step out. You draw the crossbow. Load the crossbow.
If it's a one-handed, though, right?
One-handed?
Same...
What are you saying? It was in your hand when you were in the bush, awaiting the
if
the ambush?
If it's not a... Oh, no, maybe I do have to take a second shot to load it. I'm thinking about what the difference between one-handed and two... So you have two different kinds of crossbow, hand crossbow and a dual-load crossbow.
Yeah, what do you have?
Just the one-handed.
One-handed light crossbow, right?
Right.
Yeah. So the way I imagine it, either you're in the bush with it loaded at the start of combat, and you can... You know, take a hand.
I was definitely not, so I won't pretend okay. I was. Okay.
So in that case, pulling it out and loading it are two actions. They're
both
interact.
Well, then
actions.
Screw that. I'm just gonna do produce flame again and see what happens. But I'll step out because I'm tired of being in these bushes. So
okay.
I'll,
so you'll try to attack the one that's by Eglodora, and it's gonna get a slight bonus to its AC because of the cover in the bushes. So go ahead and fire that fireball into the bushes where your ally,
your friend is.
That's fine. You got it. She's good.
When you heard me scream, that was a 1 HP left scream.
Oh, no.
Whoa. So I didn't know that.
So please be careful.
Go ahead.
I'm putting 21 to hit.
Oh.
21 to hit? You got it.
All right.
You connect.
Nice.
Nailed it. All right. And this one is damaged. Eglodora did. It does have the licking of some residual fire still on it. Can you power through the resistance?
That's 7 points of damage.
That's exactly what you needed.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Exactly what you needed, and you save. So, Eglodora, you just see the skeleton goes up in flames right in front of you.
That's great.
Thank goodness.
As Isoli saves the day. Who needs a shitty crossbow?
I looked at my crossbow and then went, God damn it. Yeah.
You know, it's also going to have the same resistance. It's still going to be 5 resistance. Yeah.
That's true.
To the crossbow. That brings us to Eglodora, now free from this immediate threat. 1 hit point left, though. Does she run out and take on the last skeleton alone?
Yes, she does. She doesn't run out. Wait, I can stay in the bush and fire from range.
Yes, you can absolutely do that, but you just have to worry about what your allies will say about you later. You
right.
just stay hidden at the pivotal climax of the combat, but it's up to you.
I'm going
to
stay hidden because stealth is cool, and everybody knows that, and I'm going to do another produce flame ranged at the skeleton next to Cleon that's on the path.
Okay. It's going to get bonuses, though, because you're all in the muck, so just be aware. Be a harder shot to get.
17
misses because of the cover.
Oh,
so basically, your produce flame gets clipped by part of the bush and gets knocked off course.
I played myself. I'm going to stay where I am.
Round 5. Last remaining skeleton is going to take a step back, then fire at Cleon, who's right up in his business. 24 to hit.
Oh, man.
Is that a crit?
Is not a crit.
Okay, so your
Almost.
AC doesn't go down with rage?
It does, but only by 1.
Okay, so your AC is now 15.
It's 16 now.
Oh, it's 16 now. Okay. Yeah. All right, great. Then he will do 1 point of damage, minimum damage. And he'll fire again and get a 15, which is a miss, right?
That's a miss.
All right, so that is his round. He's the only one left. Mordecai.
All right, so this is interesting. I don't know if you want to retcon anything or just take it as a learning moment. But so lay on hands, right? It does 1d6 damage and then attempts the fortitude save. But the way it's listed is a basic fortitude save. Do you know about
this? That's why I asked.
Okay, so I didn't know about this. Basic saves have their own rules, and it would be half damage on a save. No damage on a critical success. Double damage on a crit failure. So it's up to you. I didn't realize that basic
I'm going to retcon it. Because, okay. So it was 7 points of damage, right?
No, it was 4 points of... No. Yeah, it was 4 points of damage.
Halved?
No, it was 4 points of positive energy damage, and you said that shattered him.
Got it.
Because he was probably weak to positive. So if you succeeded, I'm assuming you didn't critically succeed, it would be 2 points of damage, and then if he takes extra...
And what's the DC? Is it like 16 or something? It's not 12, because I rolled a 22 on the fortitude save.
No, it's hard.
Okay. All right, great. So he's still up in front of you and next to Cleon with 2 hit points left.
Okay. That's fair. Then I will punch the shit out of him 3 times.
Hit him. He's flanked, too. He's flanked, right?
No, you would have to step to flank him, but that's an easily solved. Just got to take a step.
Okay. I'll do that, and they take 2 attacks instead of 3. So I'll step. Lower. His AC is lower. Oh, that was sitting on the natural 20, but I think that is going to be a hit with a 19.
That is a hit.
Nice. All right, so bludgeon. Oh, 10 points of bludgeon.
If the positive energy didn't take him out, that certainly does.
Wow.
Well done, Morty.
Talk about laying on of hands. That's awesome.
That's the real lay on hands.
And then my final action, I'll actually get right up in the business of the other one.
Okay, awesome. Put the pressure on. And it is Cleon's turn.
So you could get into flanking position here.
Yeah, maybe if you needed to move out. No,
that's
move right
one.
By him.
Cleon is going to flank around, get on the other side of the skeleton now with Brother Mordecai. And swing away. That is a natty 15.
Oh, that'll do.
That's a 21 to hit.
With a huge
and
old club.
That will be 12 points of bludgeoning damage.
12? Well, you know what? It wouldn't have killed him if it wasn't for Eglador's 1 point of electricity.
All right, now teamwork.
Because of the teamwork.
All right.
And we will see you guys next time.
All right. Yes,
nice ambush.
Nice ambush.
Echo Quest Super Dungeon is a Glass Cannon Network production of the Emerald Spire Super Dungeon. Paizo Pathfinder and their respective logos and all Paizo titles, characters, and artwork are property of Paizo Inc. and are used with permission. The Glass Cannon Network is an officially licensed partner of Paizo Inc.